please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 31 this morning. We're in the middle of our message series on David and Saul from the book of 1 Samuel. And today we come to the story of Saul and Goliath. Saul and Goliath. And some of you are scratching your heads and looking at Pastor Ray, did you make a mistake there? Isn't it supposed to be David and Goliath, right? Well, we're going to get to David and Goliath next week, okay? But first we need to look at a less well-known story, the story of Saul and Goliath. And that's the story we find here in verses 1 through 31. We're going to go through all 31 of those verses in the course of the message. But to get started, we'll just read verses 8 through 11 now as we begin. So 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 through 11. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at this story in Scripture today, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to see ourselves in these stories and what you want to say to us today about fear and how we can deal with the fears in our own lives. So, Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts and our ears and our lives to you now. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today we're looking at the story of Saul and Goliath. And you might say, well, I never heard the story of Saul and Goliath before. And you know, that's the point. The reason you never heard it before is because it never happened, okay? It didn't happen. But did you ever think about it, that this could have been Saul's story? Did you ever think about that? Saul was the king. Saul was the one who should have stepped up and stepped forward and defeated Goliath. But instead of conquering by faith, Saul was paralyzed by fear. And as a result, he lost out on being part of one of the biggest and best and most famous stories in the whole world. Could have been his story. Today's message is basically one of those two-parters where the first part ends on a cliffhanger. You ever seen that on like a TV show? You didn't know what happened. It's like, wait, what? I got to wait till next week. Well, that's what happens today, okay? We're going to get to David and Goliath next week, but first we need to look at Saul and Goliath and this whole problem of fear. Fear is a problem that holds too many people back. And if we are going to move forward in our Christian life, we must deal with the problem of fear. So today we're going to look at the story of Saul and Goliath. And in the process, we're going to take a good look at the enemy that you face in your life. We're going to discuss this whole problem of fear, and we're going to talk about getting past your fears. Once again, there's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along and to see the different scriptures that we will be looking at this morning. Let's begin with the enemy. The enemy. The Bible tells you that you have a fearsome foe. That's why we sometimes give in to fear. We have a fearsome foe. Now, as we look at this story this morning in the Bible, I want you to remember the Bible, the stories in the Bible, they're not there just to give us information. They're not there just to tell us about what happened to some people way back then, right? These are true stories of what God has done and still does for his people today. And we are meant to see ourselves in these stories and to see our own relationship with God. And so you have a fearsome foe. And the first thing we learn from this story today is that you are in a spiritual battle. You're in a battle every day of your life. You are in a spiritual battle. And you'll notice that's how our story begins today too, with the battle lines drawn up between God's people, the people of God, and the forces of the enemy. So let's get started now. 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 through 3. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. And so these first three verses set the scene for us, right? You have both armies. They're spread out on their respective hillsides. They have the valley in between. And that meant that it was risky. It was risky for either side to attack first. In each case, the opposing army was there on a hillside. Elevated position. Advantage, right? Whoever attacked first was going to be exposed in the valley. That's perhaps why the Philistines decided, hey, let's challenge them to a single man-to-man combat instead. But what we see here is the Israelites were in a battle with a powerful enemy, a powerful foe, and you also are in a battle. Not against people, right? It is a spiritual battle. We read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 earlier. Let me read that verse again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, okay? It's not against other people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Whether you're aware of it or not, you are part of a great battle that is going on all around you. You are part of a spiritual battle. Not only are you in a spiritual battle, but the enemy is stronger than you are. He's stronger than you are. You say, Pastor Ray, this is not a very encouraging message so far. Don't worry. It'll get better as we go along, okay? But the enemy is stronger than you. Israel faced the same thing. Back to 1 Samuel. They're lined up for battle against the Philistines. They're at this standstill with the valley in between. And now what happens? Enter Goliath. Okay? Back to chapter 17, verses 4 to 7. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Okay, this is about 9 feet, folks, right above my head here. Over 9 feet tall. Had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves. Had a bronze javelin slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod. Its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath. And 1 Samuel describes Goliath here. It says, he's a champion. He's a champion. That word champion is a word that literally means a man in between. That's what that word means, a man in between. Who is the champion? The champion is the one who fights for his people by entering into single combat. He is a man in between, because where does the fight take place? It takes place in between the two opposing armies. Goliath is not only a champion, though. He is bigger and stronger than anyone else. And that makes sense, right? If you're the Philistines, you want to pick your best man to be your champion, right? But he's not only bigger and stronger than everybody else, he's huge, right? He's giant. He stands around 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Yes, Goliath could dunk, okay? Goliath could dunk just standing up. He didn't have to jump or even stand on his toes. He could just stand there and go like this. Bonk. And he could just dunk that basketball. But he's not only tall, right? Some people are tall and kind of skinny and kind of thin. They're very tall and thin. He's not only tall, he's strong. He's as stocky as he is big and tall. And we know that because you can just look at the armor that he's wearing. Look at the weapons that he carries. First of all, he's covered in metal from head to foot. His armor alone weighed close to 200 pounds. Have you ever gone backpacking with a 50-pound backpack? You know how tired you get doing that, right? Can you imagine a 200-pound backpack? Okay, Goliath was strong. He's got 200 pounds of armor. He's got a bronze javelin on his back. His spear shaft was thick like a weaver's rod. The spear tip was made out of iron. The spear tip itself alone, just by itself, weighed 15 pounds. Can you imagine trying to throw that thing? Goliath also had his shield bearer who went in front of him. Now, the shield bearer would have carried one of those full-length body shields. So he'd be going in front of him. In case the Israelites said, we'll just take him down with some bows and arrows. You know, and so he's there to protect him. So you have this huge, imposing giant of a man. He comes out of the Philistine camp. He's bigger and stronger than anyone in the Israelite camp. He is a fearsome foe. And guess what? Your enemy is also stronger than you are. He is a fearsome foe. That's why we give in to fear. But that's why God gives us warnings in Scripture. Like 1 Peter 5:8, to let us know that we have a strong and powerful enemy. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You are in a spiritual battle, and the enemy is stronger than you. Not only that, the enemy opposes God and God's people. And we certainly see that with Goliath, right? Back in 1 Samuel, verses 8 through 11. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not just the servants of Saul? Choose a man, have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects. You will serve us. And then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And on hearing the Philistine's words, we saw this earlier, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were paralyzed by fear. So Goliath issues the challenge to what is sometimes called single combat, sometimes called representative combat. Single combat is hand-to-hand combat, duel to the death between two champions. And their fight is going to decide the fate for both armies. Whoever wins the single combat wins the battle for everyone. But Goliath not only issues the challenge, he's taunting the people. Did you catch that? Am I not a Philistine? Right? We're the best. You're just the servants of Saul. In other words, he's saying, you guys don't stand a chance. He says, I defy the ranks of Israel. That word defied is a term of scorn and contempt. Now, question. Who in the Israelite camp is best suited to fight Goliath from a physical standpoint? Who is it? Saul, right? It's King Saul. Remember when Saul was chosen as king, we were given a physical description of him. He was described as head and shoulders above everyone else. So Saul, he's the biggest and strongest in Israel. Now, he's not as big and strong as Goliath, okay? We get that. But with faith in God, Saul could have defeated Goliath. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. The story that we all know could have been Saul and Goliath. Could have been his story. But what do we read in verse 11? On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They're scared to death of Goliath and his words. They all got a case of what Eugene Peterson calls Goliath terror or Goliath phobia. Okay, they're just scared to death. Goliath defied the ranks of Israel. Satan opposes God and opposes God's people. We read about Satan in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17. Says, then the dragon here is a symbol representing Satan. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. You know who that is? That's us. Make war against us, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. The next chapter in Revelation, chapter 13, verse 6, the beast. Now the beast here is a representative of Satan. The beast opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. The enemy stands against God, opposes God's people. The enemy's stronger than you. What are we going to do? Well, good news, we'll jump ahead to a little bit of good news here, is as Christians, guess what? We have a champion. We have our own champion. And our champion did what? He engaged in single combat for us, and he defeated the enemy. Jesus was the man in between who decided the fate for both sides when he won the battle for us all. The Israelites were in a battle for their lives. We also, folks, we are in a battle every day. It's a spiritual battle. The enemy's stronger than you. He opposes God and his people. You have a fearsome foe, and you need to be careful that you don't give in to fear like Saul and the Israelites did. Because here's the problem with fear, okay? Here's the problem with fear. Our next section now in the passage tells you three things that fear is going to do in your life. There's other problems with fear, too. We're just going to look at three this morning, the three that are in our passage. First of all, fear, giving into fear, is going to make you lose time and opportunities. Giving into fear will make you lose time and opportunities. Back to 1 Samuel 17, now we're at verses 12 through 16. And this is where David enters the story now. Now, David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had eight sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. Remember, we already met these three. Remember, Samuel came to anoint a king, and Eliab came by, and Samuel thought, that's the one. And God said, nope, not him. And then came Abinadab and Shammah. Nope, until they got to David, right? Back here now, verse 14, David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. So the scene shifts here now from the battlefield to Bethlehem. And we learn that David's been going back and forth to Saul at this time. You remember last week in chapter 16, we saw that David had actually entered full-time service with Saul. You might be wondering why he's going back and forth now. Probably when Saul went off to battle, he had to send David back to his home, right? And now David's going back and forth running supplies. You had to be at least 20 years old to be eligible for military duty in Israel. David's too young, but his three oldest brothers, they're off with Saul. David's home in Bethlehem tending the sheep. Meanwhile, what are the Israelites and the Philistines doing? They're in a standoff. For 40 days, Goliath comes out and makes his challenge. And for 40 days, Saul and the Israelites do nothing. Nothing. That's 40 days not at home with their families. That's 40 days not working their fields and taking care of business. That's 40 days of lost time and missed opportunities. During those 40 days, we're told Goliath came out every morning, every evening. Count them up. That's 80 missed opportunities for Saul and Israel. Why? Because they were all paralyzed by fear. How many opportunities have you missed out on in life because of fear? How much time have you let slip by? Ephesians chapter 5 says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. What's the problem with fear? Well, first of all, giving into fear will make you lose time and opportunities. Secondly, giving into fear will leave you going through the motions. Going through the motions. Look at verses 17 to 22 now. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers. Hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are. Bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with the shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines and facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. So Jesse sends David to the Israelite camp with supplies. And I love what Jesse says to David in verse 19. He says, your brothers, they're with Saul. They're with all the men of Israel fighting against the Philistines. No, they're not. They're not fighting against the Philistines. Nobody's doing any fighting, right? They're just going through the motions. David gets there just as the action's starting. He drops everything. He runs out to the battle line, right? They sound the battle cry. They line up. They drop their lines, but nobody's doing any fighting. It's all theater. It's all just a show. Both sides might just as well go home, right? But you see, when we give in to fear in the Christian life, what happens? We end up going through the motions. Because when we give into fear, we stop moving forward in our Christian life. We stop taking risks for God. We still go to church. We still sing the songs. We bow our heads and close our eyes during prayer. We listen to the sermon, but somehow we've forgotten that it is all real. And we end up just going through the motions. Paul speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, of those having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The truth of the situation is, the reality of the situation is, you are part of a spiritual battle that is going on all around you. And your life, and your prayers, and your faith, and your service all matter. And what you do today, and this week, and this month, and this summer, and this year, all has eternal impact. God calls you to move forward in your Christian life. And you know what? That causes some of us fear, doesn't it? We're afraid to move forward in godliness. We're afraid to move forward in service, in witness, in giving, in faith. And so instead of moving forward, what do? We just end up going through the motions, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Boy, big problems with fear, right? It's going to make you lose time and opportunities. It will leave you going through the motions. Thirdly, giving into fear will make you want to quit the fight. Look at verses 23 and 24 now. As David was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. And so David's all excited. He's running the battle line. He's watching, and he watches in amazement as all the Israelites turn around and they run away from Goliath. They're not only not moving forward, they're not even standing their ground. They're going backwards. One of the problems in the church today is that too many people have quit the fight. We have too many sidelined saints. And that's true of some of us here today, isn't it? The enemy attacked. You got hurt. And somewhere along the way, he said, "That's it. I'm done. I quit." But you know, Satan hasn't quit. He's at it every day. He's relentless. He's like Goliath, coming out every morning, every evening, without fail. When the Israelites saw Goliath, they all ran away. But what does God tell us to do? He tells us to stand. To stand your ground. Ephesians 6:13 says this, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to do what? To stand your ground." And after you've done everything, to stand. Have you given up ground to the enemy? See, some of you need to stand your ground and get back into the fight, because we need you. And God's kingdom needs you. That's the problem with fear. Giving into fear will make you lose valuable time and opportunities. It will leave you just going through the motions. It will make you want to quit the fight. So how do you get past your fears? How do you do that? Well, our passage teaches us that also. And it points us to three important truths in this final section now that we're going to go through. First of all, remember the benefits of following God. You want to get past your fears of doing something for God, remember the benefits of following God. Now, look at verse 25 now in 1 Samuel 17. Now, the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. He'll exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. King Saul offered substantial rewards to the person who defeated Goliath. King Jesus offers substantial rewards to the person who defeats Satan." But here's the difference, okay? King Saul wasn't going to help you defeat the enemy. He might lend you his armor, but he's going to stay in his tent. He's not going to help. You're going to have to defeat Goliath all by yourself. King Jesus, he will not only help you, he's already defeated the enemy. He already beat him. And now he just asks you to join him in his victory. Remember the benefits of following God. Psalm 103 says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And what are some of those benefits? Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Folks, those are really good benefits, and they're yours for following God. Jesus says this in Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are great benefits. God offers substantial rewards to the person who overcomes. And not only that, he helps you overcome. He helps you in the battle. I love 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. It says this. It says, those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. God will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. He'll give strength to his king. That's a verse King Saul should have memorized. That's a verse he should have known. Goliath was opposing God. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. God will give strength to his king. The enemy opposes God and his people, but those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. God gives you strength for the battle. How do you get past your fears? First of all, remember the benefits of following God. It might get you up and moving forward again, right? Secondly, be zealous for God's honor. Be zealous for God's honor. In other words, let your zeal for God be stronger than your fear of whatever. Look at 1 Samuel 17, now verses 26 and 27. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. See, David saw things differently than those around him. David had learned that lesson that we learned in our first message in this series, 1 Samuel 16:7, where the Lord said, do not consider his appearance or his heart, do not consider his appearance or his height. The Lord looks at the heart. Everybody else looking at Goliath. He's big. They run away. David didn't consider his appearance or his height. David had learned to see things from God's perspective. David was neither impressed nor intimidated by Goliath, because no matter how big Goliath was, David knew that his God is bigger. But most of all, David was zealous for God's honor. David understood that Goliath wasn't simply defying the Israelites. He was defying God. That's why David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In David's eyes, Goliath was not an invincible champion. He was just an uncircumcised Philistine. Uncircumcised means that Goliath was not in a covenant relationship with the one true God. Goliath, along with all the Philistines, they served Dagon. Who's Dagon? He's a dead god, a false god, a no god, represented by dead statues and idols. But David and Israel served the one true living God. A key step to getting past your fears is to be zealous for God's honor, to have a greater zeal for God and his honor than the fears that hold you back. The psalmist writes in Psalm 4, verses 2 and 3, he says, how long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? He's indignant over those who disdain the true God and follow idols of their own making. Or we read in Psalm 119, verse 53, indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Be zealous for God's honor. How do you get past your fears? Remember the benefits of following God. Number two, be zealous for God's honor. And then finally, number three, don't let others discourage you from following God. There's always going to be someone out there who's going to try and discourage you. And that's what we see here in our final verses now, 1 Samuel 17, verses 28 to 30. 31. When Eliab, remember Eliab, oldest brother? When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him. And he asked David, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? Typical youngest brother, right? The older brothers are picking on us. Oh, can't I do anything, right? David then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. And what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. So here we finally get a glimpse into Eliab's heart. Remember, Eliab was the first one that passed before Samuel. Samuel looked at him, looked at his height, and said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." And God said, "No, he's not the right one. I've rejected him." Now we know why God rejected Eliab as king. This is what God saw in Eliab that Samuel couldn't see. Eliab hears David talking with the men and is zealously guarding God's honor. And what does he do? Immediately puts David down. He verbally attacks his own brother. He falsely accuses him of wrong motives. What does David do? He just moves on, talks with someone else. See, it's a matter of choosing your battles wisely. You don't get into it with Eliab when you've got a giant to fight, right? You don't get caught up in friendly fire when there's a real enemy to defeat. Eliab tries to discourage David, but David won't have any of it. David keeps asking around. Word gets to Saul. Saul sends for David. And that's where the first part of our two-parter ends, right? Right on a cliffhanger, as promised. Goliath is still out there. David's on his way to Saul. Don't let others discourage you from following God. Do you remember the 12 spies who went into the promised land, the land of Canaan? 10 out of the 12 brought back a bad report. And you remember what they said? They're too big for us. Same problem we're having with Goliath. He's too big for us. They're too big for us. What did Caleb say? Numbers 13:30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." With God's help, he knew they could do it. Later on, God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, said, "Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be paralyzed by fear. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." How do you get past your fears? Remember your benefits of following God. Be zealous for God's honor. Don't let others discourage you from following God. So that's it, people. That's the story of Saul and Goliath. You never heard that one before, did you? It's a sad story of fear and loss and missed opportunities. You're going to like next week's story so much better. Trust me, okay? But before we move on to David and Goliath, let's make sure we learn from Saul's mistakes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." God did not give us a spirit of fear. But he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Don't be paralyzed by fear when you've got God on your side. God is with you. Jesus has defeated the enemy. You do not need to be afraid. Don't miss out on what God has for you because of fear. Ask God to help you get past your fears so God can use you for his glory. Amen? Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you for the story of Saul and Goliath today. It's a story we're not used to hearing. We usually just jump right ahead to the good parts. But Lord, there's a lot we can learn from the first half of this chapter. Lord, I pray that we would take the lessons you've taught us from your word today to our hearts. Holy Spirit, work them into our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would be slaves to fear no longer, but that we would move forward ready to conquer by faith in Jesus' name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.